What's up, Frozen Chosen? How are you? Thank you, sir. God has a personal message for us, so I want to get down here and be personal with you. Sometimes I feel like standing up there just feels a little disconnected, but then there's times that I know that God's brought a word of authority and just makes it appropriate. But today, there's a word for you. Today is a personal word for you. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and I'm thankful that you're here today. And can you feel God's presence this morning? Amen? Amen. There's no row safe today. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to have you. I'm glad that you're here. God has given us a great message. I'm very excited about this morning's message. I've never preached a message like this before. I've never taught on this subject before. But God just really stirred my heart. My wife had an amazing sermon last Sunday night that really, really stirred my heart. And I've been chewing on that and praying about that all week, and God has given us an amazing word today. I'm very excited. So here at First Open Bible, it's February, and I am over the snow. Over it. Hashtag over it. Oh, look behind you. See how beautiful it is. I miss having the whole body together. That is what I miss the most. I miss having everyone come because they can't get here safely. I'm so thankful you're here, but I love it when we can all come together and gather together, because the more of us, the stronger we'll be, right? The more we can love each other. And I know that a lot of times, I've been told this, and I remember what it's like, is that, man, sometimes you just are just aching to get to church on a Sunday because you're like, I need God's word. I know I've been battling all week, and I know I've been getting in my word, but I know God has a word for me, and I got to be with my church family. I got to be there. There's something about it, man. There's a strength, and there's a love, and there's just this anointing that is just amazing. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning. I love it. I love church. I love coming, and I'm so thankful you made it safely. And it's still snowing a little bit, so you got nowhere to go, right? Right? It's Pentecostal church. We're going to be here till we're done, right? That's just how it goes. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful you're here today. So this month is February at First Open Bible, and our theme is passion. Passion. There is power in your passion, right? Everyone is passionate about something. What really matters is, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Everybody's passionate about something. You might even be passionate about nothing, but you're passionate about that nothing, right? You're passionate about it. We're all passionate about something. So how was your Valentine's Day? Good? Good? Some of y'all laughed. Somebody laughed over there. How's Valentine's Day?
I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm not sure.
Here's a question. Did you tell someone or many someones that day that you loved them? If you did, say amen. Amen. Did you tell the Lord that you loved him? Amen. Did anybody tell you that they loved you? Amen. I didn't get as many amens, so guess what? I know we kind of laugh, but that's kind of sad. That's okay. I want to tell you something. See, if you did not hear that somebody told you that they loved you, I want you to hear it this morning. I love you. I love you. I do. Not in a creepy way, in a pastor way. I love you. I pray for you. I battle for your family. I love you. I do. I think about you day and night, night and day, all the time. And I love you. But guess what? I got better news. God loves you even more than I do. He does. He loves you. And you are loved. That's it. You're loved. If there's anything you hear me say today, remember that you are loved. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you've gone through, no matter your past, no matter your present, no matter your future, you will always be loved by God. Always. There will be nothing that can separate you from his love. You will always, always, always be loved. Try to run, try to hide. You will never outrun or outhide God's love. You never will. It'll always, always chase you. To the very last breath that you have in your body, you'll have an opportunity to accept his love. So like I said, my wife Sarah last Sunday night, she preached a great sermon thought about it many times, and God really, really stirred my heart in some of the things that she said. Her sermon was titled, A Matter of the Heart. There were many facets to this sermon, and one avenue that she touched on, will you wave your hand, honey? She's that beautiful blonde right there. That's my wife. I don't think they saw you, Pastor. You gotta put it up. Amen? That's my wife right there. She goes, no, don't embarrass me. No, I'm proud of you. My wife has an anointing to teach God's word. She is anointed. And one of my greatest gifts as being a pastor, which is weird. This is a weird dynamic. Think about this. I'm my wife's pastor. Can't explain that. It's just weird. And she works for the church, so I'm kind of her boss. But that's only at church, because then we get home, and she's the boss. All right. You know what I mean by that. So, amen. Anybody married is like, okay, yeah, he's been married long enough to know what's up. Yes. Amen. But she's got an anointing. One of the greatest gifts, one of my greatest callings. See, as a shepherd, this is what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to equip, right? Equip the saints to do the works of the ministry. Do you realize if you don't go out and do the things that God has called you to do, it feels like in my life I've failed you. I can't make you do anything, but my job is to equip you. It's your job to go out, pick up that equipment, and battle. That's your job. And today God's got a word for you to help you battle. Help you battle in the things that you face. This is ground level work, man. This is like the first, what's that thing called? Mail? I think it's called mail that they put on. That's kind of looks like, I don't know, like chain link fence kind of put together. But it's all over your body. This is ground work level. If you don't have this, it won't protect you. But if you're wearing this, you can face any battle. It will protect the things that need to be protected. So you're going to put on some armor today. And no, it's not about Ephesians 6 today. Okay? Just because we talk about battling doesn't we always go. There's a lot of battles we face, but that is an amazing chapter of God's word. But I'm so thankful. God has an awesome word, and God's really stirred me up. And out of that, what some of the things my wife said and the things I've studied all week long and prayed about, God's given me a sermon for you. Do you know that God thought about you all week long through me? He did. I don't just come up to give you some crazy revelation and jump around and dance. God gives me a word specifically for you. That is right now one of the biggest things in my entire life that I'm supposed to do. And God thought about you all week and gave me a word for you. Are you excited to hear what God has for you today? Amen. Amen. See, that's how we're a Pentecostal church. You get, it's like, man, the church I grew up in is like, are you excited about God's word? Right? I remember that. Right? Oh, that's why I didn't fit in. So, amen. What do you do with a loud mouth? What does God do with a loud mouth that loves everybody? He makes them a pastor. That's what he does. So I'm going to use your mouth better than you are using it right now because you're messing up a lot. Let me put something on there. All right. So God has given you you a message through me today. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Loves you. If you can't hear from God, it's because you haven't opened your word. He talks to you every single day. It's just one page away. Just open your word. It's one prayer away. God is always, always, always talking to you. Always. It's just that we haven't turned our ear to him. We haven't been listening to him. We haven't, you know, when you talk about I'm not in tune with God, the only reason why you're not in tune with God is you got the wrong channel on. That's why, right? You got the wrong channel, man. Switch over to AM and get in some FM, okay? Amen, amen. So we hear a lot of sermons on serving. We hear sermons on perseverance and sacrifice and forgiveness. We hear sermons on loving the sinner and loving our neighbor. We hear sermons on loving your enemy, but we seldom talk or hear sermons about loving ourselves. Loving ourselves. Let me explain. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. I'm going to read a few verses here. It says this, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19:34 says, treat them like native-born Israelites. When they're talking about God's chosen people. Treat them as you treat God's chosen people. That's what he's talking about. God's church, God's people that he loves, the ones that he died for. And love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in a land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. James chapter 2, verse 8 says this. Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus summed up the whole Bible in 3 verses. They tried to trap him. Remember that? Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, tell me, what's the most important thing? Right? And I mean, he didn't even hesitate. He just said this in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It doesn't stop there. And the second is equally and as important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. See, it's super important to love God and to love other people. We hear sermons about that all the time, don't we? If we do, say amen. We hear it all the time. But also in these verses I just read, out of Jesus' own mouth, we assume there's a level of self-love as well. Is it possible that loving ourselves might be a starting point? I know some of y'all are thinking, what, dude, you're going to talk about some self-love. Just listen. Just listen. Don't get judgmental yet. You're God's word. I can feel it. I can feel it. If God thought loving thyself, that's the title of today's sermon, loving thyself, was an ugly thing, or if God thought it was a wrong thing, then why would the Lord use it as a standard to show you how to treat other people? Here's one way to look at these verses. See, the way that you love your neighbor is the way that you love yourself. You wonder why you're not a very nice person and people don't like you, because you're not treating them very well. Let me ask you this. Do you ever find yourself being hard on other people? Or find yourself at times being judgmental about other people? Or do you find yourself sometimes disgusted with other people? Well, there's only one way to stop that. You're going to have to stop being hard, judgmental, and disgusted with yourself first. What starts in your mind and in your heart will flow out of you. God's word says it in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says this. He says, a good person, Jesus says this, a good person produces good things from the treasury, what's stored in there, of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury, what's in there, in an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So my wife said it this way last Sunday night. She said this, quote, loving your neighbor as yourself isn't working in your life because you don't love yourself, end quote. If you haven't received God's love for you, you won't know how to love anybody else because you don't even know how to love yourself. If you don't love yourself, it's time to ask the most important person who really matters at all. Guess what? You don't matter as much as this person I'm about to tell you about. You need to ask Jesus. Yes. You need to ask Jesus what he thinks of you. Yes. You're about to leave in 3 hours, just playing. Man, Spirit of God falls, hallelujah, right? Y'all going to be out, Holy Ghost snap, nothing wrong with that. You're going to wake up, stand up, and be changed forever. That's all right. But you're going to leave in a little bit, and who cares what anybody else thinks of you? And sometimes in your flesh, who cares what you think of you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. See, that's not real love. That's not real truth. Ask Jesus. I told you God had a word for you. Ask Jesus what he thinks of you. lot of you haven't done that in a very long time, or maybe ever. Okay, there's people on the opposite side of this coin. For some of us in here, we have lots of love for other people, but we have no love for ourselves. Sometimes we know somebody messes up in our life and we allow them to be human. And we even give them encouragement. And we love them and we speak life into their situations and we stand with them and we love on them. Right? Then later on you end up messing up or doing something similar to what they just did. And you start tearing yourself apart. Man, what an idiot. Gosh, I can't believe I did that. I give these people, I know they did it and I did it. What's wrong with me? You start criticizing yourself. You start cutting yourself down and speaking hate about yourself. So you're lifting other people up and you're giving great support, but then you have self-destruction right behind it. Side note, speaking hate about yourself is not humility. Self-hate is not humility. Maybe our lesson today for you to learn, if you're on that side of the coin, is not how to love your neighbor as yourself, but you need to learn how to love yourself as you've been loving your neighbors. See, please don't misunderstand me this morning. We are never to avoid taking responsibility. This ain't no greasy grace today. We don't preach that from this pulpit. Don't skip out on owning your mistakes, admitting your errors, repenting, and do whatever you can to correct the wrongs that you've done. Don't get me wrong. See, God does discipline our actions. He disciplines our words. He disciplines our motives. He disciplines our attitude. But he never attacks our character. He never attacks our purpose. And he never attacks our self-esteem. We do that ourselves. I wrote, boom. Not about loving yourself more, like you're going to put on more pride or put on more self-esteem. It's about asking the only one in this whole entire universe, the only one that actually matters, what he thinks of you. If you ask Jesus, he will tell you. I'm going to get a little closer today. This message, I almost asked y'all to move up. Seriously, you sit in the same spot even though there's like half the people here? It's crazy. I don't get it. Anyway. Moving on. I don't get it. It's like, man, there's like five rows in front of me. It's my spot. Whatever. All right. God loves you. He loves you so very much. But you haven't asked him in a long time what he thinks of you. Guess what? As long as you're listening and not playing on your phone, which you should probably put down right now, why are you have a phone, playing with a phone in church? You realize you're going to wake up one day and that'll be the last day of your life and you're going to stand before God and he's going to say, remember that day on February 17th when you watched your phone instead of hearing the message from me? You remember that? Right? We are going to take an account to everything we do and say, moving on. Okay. Let's read some more scripture for a moment. Mark chapter 11, verses 12, 13, and 14. I'm reading out of the NLT on this verse, these verses. The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf, a way off. So he went over there to see if there's any figs on there, but there are only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him saying that. Now we move on a few verses, go to verses 20 and 21 in Mark chapter 11. The next morning as they passed by the fig tree that he cursed, the disciples noticed that it withered from the roots up. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree that you cursed has withered and died." All right, Proverbs tells us this. In chapter 18 and verse 21, it says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." read one more verse. John 8, 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out the father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding any truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue, his native language. He is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the deceiver, like we heard earlier. He is the father of deception, and he is a liar. So when Jesus cursed that fig tree, what happened? What happened to that tree? Go ahead and say it. It died. Then the Bible teaches us that we have the power of life and death in our tongues. The Bible teaches us that Satan is a murderer, a killer, he's the father of lies, and he's full of deception. That's all he can do. Satan has a few different goals for you in your life. Okay? I want you to realize this too. He's the only one on this entire planet that loves self-loathing. He's the only one that loves it. That's what he can't wait till you hate yourself. Here's his goals. He's got a couple of them. He has a goal to get you bad or to get you busy. Get you bad. That's the world. That's the people living in the world, doing the things of the world. Then he gets the Christians busy. I'm too busy instead of being at Jesus' feet. I'm too busy doing things that I actually forget about my first love. All right, here's another goal. He has a goal to discourage you and destroy you. His goal is to lie to you, and here's where he wins. He wants you to agree with those lies. When the enemy wins. Have you ever thought about this? That the spirit of self-criticism and the spirit of self-mutilating and the spirit of self, that spirit of self-hate is actually the spirit of death? The accuser is real. Satan is real. The Bible says that he is a lion prowling around looking for who he can devour. Starting. God's got self-comparison. You compare yourself to everybody around you all the time. You compare yourself to the world, that commercial. And ladies, I pray for you. I do. Because all the time, you're too skinny, you're too fat, you're too ugly, you got too big of a nose, you got curly hair, you got straight hair, you don't look like this, you're not young enough, whatever it is. All the time throwing in your face that you're not enough. You're not enough. Compare yourself to this person. Let me tell you. Those people that are on TV, you think they might love themselves, but I guarantee they got a secret life where they hate themselves, no matter how beautiful they may be, no matter how many ice cubes and celery sticks they eat. Right? How many calories in this celery stick? Actually, you burn more calories when you chew that than there have. I'll take five. No, five plates, right? Everything's in moderation. You can eat a cheeseburger, just don't have it every day. We don't want to be gluttons. But listen, quit comparing yourself to the world. I don't got enough money. I'm not smart enough. I don't talk well enough. I'm not outgoing. I'm too outgoing. Or whatever it is, there's constantly comparisons. And guess what that does? It ends in self-hate. And this is the everyday business of the accuser. The accuser has tormented you for years and years and years, telling you all the things that you are not. And if you partner with those lies, it is now you who continues the curses upon yourself. He's already done it. He's already won if he gets you to believe those lies. Guess what? When you do that, you're killing yourself spiritually by the things that you say, by the things that you think. Suicide. Cutting. Teens, I know you deal with that. Happened when I was a kid too. I didn't deal with that, but I had lots of friends that did. Cutting, self-mutilating yourself, thinking that this is a way out of pain. There's probably people in here that have done it, maybe even now. It's a lie from the enemy. See, you're the temple of God. And if you injure that temple of God, you're injuring the Lord, and he doesn't want that because he loves you deeply and desperately. That is not what you should battle with. That is a lie from the enemy, right? That is not an escape. Don't let the devil have victory. He's a defeated foe. You got to remind him. And one of the ways you can remind him is how you take care of your body. Suicide, cutting, self-mutilating, shame attacks. Shame on me, shame on me, shame on me, shame. Shut your mouth. Self-doubt, loathing who you are, saying this, I hate myself, or I'll never be loved. I wish I'd never been born. Done. Not anymore, Satan. Not anymore. Not anymore. If you won't stand in the gap, I will right now for you. No more lies. No more lies. No more lies. No more believing any of that anymore. Remember what I said in the beginning? I love you, but God loves you more. Y'all came today and battled the weather because you needed to hear this. You needed to hear this. It's almost like the more struggle you had this morning, the better it's going to be for you today. The enemy doesn't go without a fight. Right? Every time I walk up here, there's a battle every single time. Because God's word is reminding the devil where he belongs. Under your feet. Not in my ear, under my feet. Not in my heart, under my feet. Not in my family, under my feet. Not in my life, under my feet. Right? Serpent, I'm going to bust your head with my heel. That's my right because of what Jesus did. Church, we were created to live. To be spiritually alive and full of abundance. We were never created to compare ourselves to another person or tear ourselves down. We were created to find our identity in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus came, and he came so the truth, will you say truth this morning? So the truth will set you free, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Jesus has already, do you remember that tongue interpretation? I want to say this real quick for the ones that don't understand. Tongue interpretation, not tongue and translation. Because a tongue translation would mean that the tongue has to be almost equal to the length of the translation, but it's tongue interpretation. Heavenly language is not the same as earthly language. Just like me speaking English and me speaking Spanish might be a little longer, a little shorter, right? Muy bueno. Yeah? Gloria a Dios. Espíritu Santo fuego. Holy Spirit fire. I don't know, a little bit. Un poquito español. Loco gringo. Little bit of Spanish, crazy white boy. Right? I'm loco for Jesus. Jesus Cristo. Yes. I'm not saying I'm crazy in the head, but I'm crazy for Jesus. I'm a fanatic, man. I gotta love Jesus in all that I do and all that I say. You're a fan about something. You might as well be a fan about the one's gonna live forever, because he's gonna let you live forever. All right? You can be a fan about something that's going to die with you. That's your choice. Amen. You're missing out. God's got a word. I'm pausing for a moment because I know God's speaking to you right now, to your heart. Find your identity in Christ, not in things or people, your spouse, your parents, person at work, the person you want to be on TV or in a movie, in the magazines, or the person at school, or the most popular, or the least popular, the best instrument player, the best sports person, whatever. You're never created to compare. So there was a tongue interpretation earlier. Tongue given an interpretation, and I went up to them and said, that's half my sermon. That's not a bad thing. That's called confirmation. means we're flowing in the right vein. If we had a tongue interpretation that's way off, I would venture to say that wasn't in the spirit, that was in the flesh. You can do that, by the way. Everyone who has tongue interpretation here, you got to test before you open your mouth to make sure that's from the Lord and not from you getting stirred up in your emotions and not in your spirit. So it says in God's word that you have it in you that you can choose to say it or not say it, right? It's not like all of a sudden it comes upon you and you can't, you get taken over. That's not how that works. But that was from the Lord. That was a tongue interpretation from God because it confirmed what God is saying today. Why? I want to say this. Because Jesus, just like it was said, has already fought this fight for you. He's already fought this fight for you. So you don't have to listen to the lies of the accuser anymore. Jesus died. He was resurrected. And he's still alive. So whatever has died in you, by the power, by the blood of Jesus, may it be resurrected again right now. And this is a time to love thyself. Church, it's time to love thyself. Why? So we can love our neighbors. Jesus told us to. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There's nothing. Church, say nothing. There is nothing. Say it again, nothing. There is nothing too powerful for God's love to overcome. There is nothing that you have done in your life that God's love can't wash as white as snow. There is nothing that you're going to do in your life that will just void out his love and what he's done on the cross and what he did with that empty grave. There's nothing. Nothing. See, the enemy wants this for you to think. I'm too far gone. I'm too messed up. God will never get that part of my heart. I'll never be able to be that person, or I'll never be able to do the things that I want to do. I'm too far gone. That's a lie of the enemy. There's nobody that his love cannot reach. There's nobody. You realize that there was probably an opportunity at the very end of Hitler's life that he could have gave his life to Jesus. If there was a man hanging on a cross right next to Jesus who was known as a murderer or a thief, or he did all kinds of stuff, he was bad enough that he got the worst punishment that there was known to man, hanging next to Jesus. And at that moment, he recognized who Jesus was. And he said, "Don't forget about me on the day of paradise." Jesus said, "You will be with me today in paradise." Never, never too far gone. Never, never. Let his love set you free. A lot of times, the only cage that you're in is right here, your mind. The cage that you're locked in is in your mind. The only shackles you have on is in your mind. And you know what? Well, you know what keeps putting them on your wrists? Your mouth. Right? Oh, I'm set free on Sunday. And then I open my mouth Sunday night or Monday morning and I slap another one on. And then I'm walking around a little more heavy. Set free. Love thyself so you can love your neighbors. When God teaches you to love yourself, you will change the world. You will. It's a byproduct. We are called to be different, right? Amen? Come on, all my different people. Pentecostals, we're a little crazy, right? Ooh, a little different. Oh, that's that church over there. Right? Yeah, we are. And we still love you no matter what. You love Jesus, preaching the true word of God. We love you. I don't care what denomination you're from. If you teach this whole counsel of God, front to back, the whole thing, and you believe Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and he was raised from the dead and you confess with your mouth and believe that he's the Lord and you live your life like that, we are brothers forever. We are sisters forever. I don't care background, color. I don't care if you are if you're rich or poor. I don't care where you come from. We're going to worship in heaven. Might as well worship now, right? We just might be a little louder, but let me tell you, heaven ain't quiet. So why has it got to be quiet now? Oh, and all the introverts went, "Oh, man,
That extrovert, man, he's crazy. All right. See, we're called to be different. We're called to stand out in this world.
Someone who loves themselves and loves other people, you will stand out. Because this world is full of self-hate. Man, half the things that we see going on, you know, remember all that stuff going on about race? You know, fighting, this person shot this, whatever. And then all this stuff about, you know, the Jews and the killing the Jews. I mean, just all this stuff that, whatever they can find to separate us. Man, it has nothing to do with that I'm white and they're black, or I'm white and they're Mexican, or I'm white or whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with that I might be middle class and they're poor or they're rich or whatever. It has to do with self-hate. They don't like themselves, so the only way to deal with it is they talk about somebody else, so that way they don't look at themselves. It's easy to point fingers than it is to look in a mirror.
That's right.
Come on now. Come on now. Devil, shut your mouth. God's talking.
That's right. That's right.
Talking about it. God is good. God is amazing. God doesn't even have a word that we can describe him. I want us to pray something out loud together. And then I have just a little bit more. And we're going to do something. Remember what I said about equipping you? Okay? This is the biggest challenge that I want to face. I want to be a better pastor in this. Is I don't want you to feel like this is always a lecture. I'm up, I'm talking, and you can do whatever you want. We must be equipped. We must do the works of the ministry. We must be doers of God's word. So I want to equip you today as you go. You got to be equipped, amen? You got to be equipped. I want you to go, because you're going to change the world. Yeah, you already are. It's going to be more. Give her more, Lord. Give her more. More opportunities. More anointing. More power. Set her free, man. Set her free. I want you to repeat this after me, please. It's going to be a small little prayer. Close your eyes and repeat after me, please. You can lift your hands if you want, or just stay where you're at, whatever you want to do. Lord, if you will teach me how to love myself, I will change the world with you. Amen. You realize you heard that, the devil heard that, everybody in here heard that. Might be the best thing you said in a long time. Self-love is not being self-absorbed, okay? The more that you love yourself, the more that you love yourself because of what Jesus did in your life, the more you give away. More of him and less of me. But that doesn't mean that I just lay down and I hate myself. It means I love myself because I realize what Jesus has really done for me. Self-love is self-worth. Think, how much worth do you have? Enough worth that God would send his one and only son to set you free from death by his resurrection, that set you free from hell, set you free from sin, set you free from yourself. That's how much you are worth. You are worth. You are worth more than any money. You're worth more than anyone. Jesus, you are worth his death. You're worth it. You're worth it. When it says that before the foundations of the world, before he was slain, he was created. This was going to happen before creation ever happened. He was slain before the foundations of the world. But you realize that this time and this place, that God knew that you would live, that you were knitted together in your mother's womb, that your mama didn't abort you because your mama understood that their life is in the womb, and you know that God thought about you before the foundations of the world, because Jesus died before the foundations of the world, which means he thought about you, which means you have so much worth that he thought about you before he said, "Let there be light." You realize that? Come on. You think when he was hanging on that cross, he was just thinking about your neighbor? Love thyself. Love thyself. Love thyself.
morning the Lord wants to break
yes.
the chains of self-hate. Yes. Break them, break them, break them, break them, break them. You are beautiful. You are handsome. That man is the handsomest. Now I'm just going to play with you for a second. You should see his shirt that I saw yesterday. It says, I am the most humble. I'm just playing. I didn't even see him yesterday. I'm just playing. I'm just having some fun. By the way, I want my shirt back. You borrowing it? Okay. Have a little fun. Laughter is a medicine to our soul. You can have fun in church. You got to keep the respect. You got to keep the respect. You got to honor the Lord. You got to honor him. He deserves everything. But he doesn't want us to be sour Christians. Nobody likes that. The world's seen enough of them. That ain't me. That ain't going to be me. That ain't going to be me. Right? God wants grapes, right? Not raisins. Come on now. Getting all sour and pruning up. Come on now. Woo! Where's this coming from, man? Woo!
God.
Amen, amen. Come on, more, Lord, more. Come on. Stick to the vine. Don't fall off it. Come on. God wants to break the chains of self-hate. God says to you this morning, love thyself, for I love you with an everlasting love. He says this, you are acceptable. You are valuable. You are capable. You are forgivable. And you are lovable. 1 Peter 2:9 says, for you are a chosen people. You're a royal priest. Some verses says a royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you out of darkness and into wonderful, beautiful, magnificent, set free kind of light. Amen. Why? Because we're God's handiwork. We're his masterpiece. We're his creation. Therefore, we can praise the Lord for who we are. I came today to worship the Lord, not as a pastor. I came today to worship the Lord because I'm his son. And I love getting with my dad. He always tells me the things I need to know. And when I'm down and I'm out, he says, come on up here. Sit on my lap. Tell you something. I see you. I see you battling. I see you fighting. I see you discouraged. I've never left you. Keep doing you. You keep making me proud. Keep making me proud. I love you. I'm gonna empower you. I'm gonna give you special things in your life. But let me tell you, it's not for you. Keep telling them about me. Keep telling them about me. Keep telling them about me. And one of the best ways you can tell them about me is you got to love yourself so you can love your neighbors. And you got to love your neighbors so you can love yourself. We can praise the Lord for who we are. Peter goes on to say in the very next verse, we read 1 Peter 2:9. He says in 1 Peter 2:10, once you had no identity. Once you had no identity, I didn't have a people group. Once I had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you've received no mercy, now you've received God's mercy. I don't want nobody's mercy but his. Because that's all I need. I don't need your approval.
Right.
I don't need my own approval. I need God's approval.
Right.
He didn't make a mistake when he made me. He didn't make a mistake when he made you. This morning is a direct attack against the lies of the enemy. It's a direct attack against the lies of the enemy about your identity. We are his own. We are chosen. We have worth. We are found capable. And we are forgiven. See, when we walk in that, the world's judging system is going to fall flat in our life. Judge me all day. Tell me all the things I'm not. Tell me all the things I should be. I don't care what you say. I already know who I am. And guess what? What you said that I believed for so long, it don't matter anymore. I found somebody who tells me the truth. You don't even care about me, world. You don't even care about me. You just want my money, my life, and you want me miserable. But it says in God's word that he loved me before I even loved him. What kind of gift is that? That the villain, that the hero would die for the villain, right? And then not only that, then you want to adopt me? You want to adopt me? Do you know where I've been? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what I think about? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And that's why I'm going to pull you from where you're at, and I'm going to change you. I'm going to mold you. I'm going to shape you. And guess what? And when it's time, and maybe not in your time, but in my time, I'm going to set you on fire. I'm going to send you out to the world that is dark, that a fire must burn, because I said you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. There's a lot of flavorless junk out there. Spice it up, Pentecostals, spice it up, right? Y'all might be some Cajun salt or something. Maybe that's the South. God's got bigger things than what you're doing now. And the only reason why you haven't been able to do things is because you haven't loved yourself. Not anymore. But one of my favorite things about God is this. He's the God of the 1,140,312th chance. That guy's got more. That's where I'm at right now. It keeps on ticking. Probably just ticked right there. I don't even know. That's what I love about God. What's cool is, guess what? You walked in one way, but you don't got to walk out the same way. You don't have to. That's not up to God. That's up to you. It's up to you. Told you, man. He's writing a message for you. God loves you, loves you, loves you, sees you. It's crazy to think about this, right? Before I was even born, God knew this would come out of my mouth. Before you were even born, he knew you'd hear this. He knew that you needed this. He knew all those battles and all those things that you faced to this point. It wouldn't matter. This sermon wouldn't be as powerful if you didn't go through those things. So thank God. It says, consider all trials joy. Why? Because the truth will set you free. All those trials mean something now, right? Set us free, God. Teach us how to love. And let the foundation be how I love myself. I want to love you first to teach me how to love me. And then once I love me, because you love me, and I can see you in my, or me in your eyes, God, then I can see people in your eyes. But until I see me in your eyes, I can't see people in your eyes. I don't get it. It's not a revelation that I've received in my life yet. Remember last week, we don't try harder, we draw closer. Try all you want. Just muster up all the strength you have. It's going to be nothing in comparison to what God can do. Because it's not about your strength, it's about his. It's not about you trying, it's about drawing closer to God. Drawing closer to the Lord. And as you draw closer to God, the more he reveals how much he really does love you. And let me tell you, it'll draw you to your knees. Because it don't make any sense. I got nothing to give him except the rest of my life. Why would he love me? Because he's not of this world, that's why. He's supernatural.
So why would you expect a natural love to come out of something supernatural?
Box is breaking all over where God has been living. Bust that box, God. Bust that box. Yes. That they're putting you in, God.
Yes.
Bust my box. Bust it, Lord.
We are God's own. We are his chosen. We have worth. We are capable. We are forgiven. And we walk in that, God's judgment system will fall flat. We are not junk. We are God's masterpiece. He's the God that is in restoration. He loves to restore. You know what he's also a God of? Repurposing. See, the devil had a purpose for your life. He's going to repurpose that today. God's going to repurpose your life. See, the devil had a plan for my life. He did. But God intervened in ninth grade. Ninth grade, God intervened and he said, you get on your knees, right? Confess that I'm Lord because this guy's mine. Mine. He's mine. He's mine. God's saying that to you today. That one's mine. That one's mine. Quit lying, devil. That one is mine. I want to end the morning with this. Because it's Pentecostal. I want to end the afternoon, or begin the afternoon, with this. So you might be hungry today, but I hope you're more hungry spiritually than you are physically. The Bible tells us over and over again, you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to receive what you expect. Right? The bread of life will feed you much more than the bread at Panera. Right? That runs out. Plus, you eat too much of that, you don't feel good. I'd like to end the morning like this. So my wife, she said one other thing that just shook my heart last Sunday night in her sermon. Quote, "You want to make the enemy mad? Then learn to say this out loud. I like myself." End quote. Get out of my notes, man. I said, I want to add this too. Say this out loud. I love myself. Where's that camera at? I'm gonna block it. It's time. It's time, church. It's time to pour some grace-filled words over your wounds. Woo! Some grace-filled words over those wounds. Triple action ointment coming right now in the Holy Ghost. Going to heal quicker than it's ever healed before. It's going quick. Then after that, once it heals, we're going to spray some Holy Ghost on that scar will even leave. Right? I won't be reminded, but I don't want this nasty scar in my life. I just want this gone. I don't want the devil to try to remind me. I want this gone out of my life. You no longer stand in my head anymore. You no longer stand on my heart anymore, devil. This is God's territory. I'm going to give it back to him. No more. I'm going to love myself so I can love the world that you died for. Ushers, will you please grab those papers? Each and every person is going to get a paper. And I want to read some of this stuff on a paper. See, this is where we apply, right? I could just say this and y'all could say hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. And then like, you know, 5-10 minutes later, y'all go, what did he say? That's why we record it. Feel free to listen. I know lots of people couldn't come today. Feel free to listen on our website, or you can even get a podcast if you have one of those on your phone, the app. But feel free to go and re-listen. That's why I encourage take notes as well, is that God wants you to remember the things that he said. He wants to remember. So we're going to hand this out. Just go to town. Go to town. Each person gets one. Everybody gets one. I want to read some of this. This is called the bell. I've had this for a very, very long time. I think I might have even got it in Bible college. Or at least the first job I had as a youth pastor in Illinois back in 04, 05, something like that. And this bell reminds me of who I am. This isn't an exhaust list of everything that we are, but it's a really good starting point. And this is how I'm going to hopefully equip you today. Not only does it tell you who you are, but it gives you the verse to remind you and the devil and your mind where it's found. Okay? This isn't my words. These are God's words. We just summed it up for you. So you can go and study this. This is to equip you to go later. So here, I just highlighted a few of them. Who am I? I'm God's child, John 1, 12. I'm Christ's friend, John 15, 15. I'm bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Man, I'm the salt and the light of the earth, Matthew 5, 13 through 14. I am free forever from condemnation, Romans 8, 1 and 2. I'm a citizen of heaven because I am significant. Philippians 3:20. I am free from any charge against me. Romans 8:31 through 34. Raise your hand if you haven't received a paper, please. Raise it high. They'll come right to you. I cannot be separated from God's love. Romans 8:35 through 39. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. We talked about fruit. And God's word says, fruit that will what? Remain or last. John 15, 16. I am God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. I am complete in Christ. God doesn't have to come back again to complete me. I'm done. I'm done. I just need to accept it, walk in it. I need to walk in the Spirit. Colossians 2, 10. I am God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. And the last one that I highlighted on here is found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. I have been redeemed and I am forgiven. Praise the Lord. Brent, will you please come up? Just Brent.
All right, we're going to listen to the Lord. Drinking.
Please, we don't want to see any of those papers on the pew because you forgot them. You got to fold it up, put it in your purse. You got to fold it up, put it in your pocket. You got to hold on to it. You got to do something. Keep it. This is for you. This is yours. I want you to keep that. And next time the devil reminds you of something or you want to believe it, believe that lie, you go back to this and remind yourself the truth. Ooh, that's good. Ring that bell. I like that. Ring that bell. Amen. Ding, ding. God is here. God is here. You know, it would be much more powerful. Much more powerful, God. I want us to end with this opportunity. If there's anybody in here today, if there's anybody in here today that says, man, I have not loved myself. I haven't done God a solid. I believe the lies of the enemy, and I thought that I was supposed to not love myself because of all those teachings and things I've been taught about sacrifice and laying things down, and I'm the last, and everything else is first. I'm even reminded that Jesus had friends. Jesus took time with God. He had to take care of himself. He did. He'd be no good because he was 100% man, 100% God. He'd be no good to anybody if he just dumped and dumped and dumped and dumped. He had to get filled up. He had to be reminded. He kept going to the Father to remind him, Lord, I'm doing your will. I'm following after you. I need your strength. I need you. I need you to build me up. God, I'm gonna go away from the crowd. I'll go away from the crowd and I'm gonna spend time with you. Because I need to be reminded. I need built up, God. And even in God's word, it talks about how God will even strengthen our mortal bodies. Right? We're all in mortal bodies, supernaturally living in mortal bodies. I need to strengthen my body every once in a while. Here's the thing, is God's asking us, just like Jesus did, is to separate from the crowd, spend some time with him and realize who we are and who loves us and what he thinks about us, and then to remind us in the path that we're going. And maybe he needs to strengthen us. Maybe he needs to break off some curses in our life that we've spoken out of our own mouth or believed in our own heart or whatever it is. But there's an opportunity this morning. And if you want to take that little paper with you and you come to the altar or stay where you're at, I want you to separate from the crowd. Sometimes we don't have a great relationship with God because so often we're always around people. We're always around people, but one of the best times you'll ever spend with God is by yourself. It's the biggest opportunity to listen. It's easier that way. It's easier. I don't got the noise or things going around. It's just me and him. It's me and him. It's me and him. It's me and him. It's just you and God right now. It's just you and God. It's just you and God. It's just you and God right now. It's just you and him. Brent's playing for each and every person right now, helping us lead into that relationship with God. But if this is you today and you said, I haven't loved myself. In fact, I don't even know Jesus as my Savior. And I don't even understand this love that you've been even talking about. But something in me feels different. I got something in here that's just stirring. If that's you today, with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you today and you said, I need this love in my life. I need to confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord so I can be saved because I don't love myself. And I want to love people. You've never accepted Christ. And you want to do that today. I want to give you an opportunity. All you have to do is raise your hand. I just want to agree with you. I want to agree with you up here. That's you today. Is there anybody? Just raise your hand so I can see it. See that hand. Is there anyone else? I see that other hand. Is there anyone? I see that another hand. Anyone who said, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to solidify this love in my life today. Raise your hand. I saw those three hands. I'm going to call on you in just a second. Everyone else. Maybe some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time and you thought, man, I might have some of this a little bit backwards. I might have forgot maybe a foundation piece that I do have to love myself so God can teach me how to love others. I need to realize God's love for me. And when in that, it's like my empowerment to do anything in this life. It's like my permission. You need to say, Lord, confession is good for the soul, by the way. Confessing with your mouth. You say, Lord, I haven't loved myself like I need to. If that's you today, will you raise your hand? Hands going up all over the place. Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you're assuming that you've been loving yourself just right. I just want you to know that. If you don't raise your hand, that means you know that the way you love yourself has been right. Biblically. Hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. There's hands everywhere right now. I want you to keep your hand up right now. Keep your hand up. Why? The hand up means this. It's an international sign of surrender. God, we surrender to your love. We surrender to your love. Right now, we surrender to your love. Keep it there. People getting set free right now, all over the place. All over the place. The three that raised their hand for Jesus to come into their life so they can love, will you just come up here? I know there's one already here right now. You stay where you're at, bro. Joshua, just stay there, bud. Your mom's coming. My leaders who are in charge helping me this, will you come? Pastor Cody, will you help him? Amen. Guess what? God's word says something special. May I hold your hands? God says something special today. You and your son. Guess what it says? It says when somebody comes into the kingdom of God, all of heaven rejoices. There's a party in heaven with your name on it and your son. And guess what? And when it says also in God's word that we come together and we worship together, we're a family. This is a family affair party, and we're all invited to it. So in a moment, we're going to ask this church body to celebrate with you. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to celebrate, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer that will save your life forever and your soul forever and ever and ever. It's not going to be easy. I want to be the first one to tell you that this will not be an easy life, but it will be the best life you will ever have. And guess what? You're not doing it on yourself anymore. You're not doing it by yourself anymore. At this moment, when you say these things and you ask God to come into your heart and Jesus is going to live there and the Spirit of God is going to lead you, it says that now he's fighting for you. He's fighting for you and he goes before you in every battle.
and everything you've ever faced. He forgives you. He forgives you. He loves you so much. So much. We're going to go through some prayers, church, and then right after this, we're going to celebrate just like heaven. And then I got something for you before we go, okay? We'll go to your, can we go over to your son, Joshua? I want to hold this hand here. Hold your hand. Joshua, I'm going to need you to repeat after me. We're going to say a prayer. So it says in God's word, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, it says you shall be saved. But it has to come from our mouth. Just like I talked about, our mouth's been saying a lot of bad things, but not today. We're going to say the most important thing we've probably ever said in our whole entire life. Okay? All right. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you guys to repeat after me, okay? Lord, thank you for these two souls that it says in your word that your blood will write their names in the Lamb Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life, and nothing will wash that away, God. I thank you that you died for them, that you rose, that you thought of them, and at this very moment, that this sermon, God, I know, spoke directly to them, that God, if there's anybody in here that got anything, I know and I thank you that this sermon, this word was for them, directly for them. Why? Because you love us that much, that you see us all week long, God. Yes. That this is the first time, or the second time with Josh, first time with his mom, God, that I've ever seen them. This has nothing to do with me. This has everything to do with your love, God. Thank you for it. I thank you that your love, like the song says, is relentless. It goes after us with everything it has, Lord. And they yield to you right now. They yield to your love, God. May you forever, ever change them. May you strengthen them. God, may this be the beginning of a great journey. I pray for this church body to get around them and love them and help them, because it won't be easy. But when we fight together, we are stronger. God, may we do that. Will you both repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you for dying for me and then being rose from the grave. You live not only in heaven and coming back one day, but right now you live in me. Make me alive. Thank you, God, for my destination. I'm going to heaven to be with you. I invite you to be the Lord and the ruler of my life from this day forward. Thank you for healing my past. I give you now all of my future. In Jesus, mighty and glorious and perfect name. Amen. Amen. Just seal that with them right now. Church, celebrate. Come on. Thank you, God. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, God. Worship you. Worship you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. Will you guys stay and minister to them? Minister to them. They have a couple books for you. If you don't have a Bible, we have an awesome Bible for you, an NLT study Bible, and I'll get you one. You just need to tell me before you leave. It's a really, really good one. You'll like it. All right, church, before we go. I know it's getting late, but it says in God's word that one day is 1,000 years, so really it's not that late. Okay. Amen. I'm going to use that again. I don't know where that came from, but God, I'm going to say it's anointed. Woo. Two people came into heaven.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Hey, honey, will you get her name again? What's her name? It's Joshua and or Josh. And what's her? Angie. Angie and Joshua. This week, right now, at lunch, whenever, you pray for Angie and you pray for her son Joshua, okay? Because now I'm not big on it. You can go to church anywhere you want, as long as the church that preaches God's word. We'd love to have you here, but as long as you're getting God's word and you're getting fed, we want you to just keep diving into that. But you're welcome to stay here. And if they choose to stay here, church, we gotta rally around them and help them, okay?
You remember what it's like giving your life to Christ. The devil's going to try to have havoc on their life. It's going to mess them up. It's going to try to remind them all the things that they've done, but that's gone. We need to keep talking to them and loving on them, and we got to recognize that. Now, this is for you before we go. It's for you. Many, 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 many of you. I know it. I've been there. There's even things in my life I haven't forgiven myself about. So I stand with you today. Here's an opportunity. You have that paper. Feel free to come to the altar as we sing one last song. You have to love yourself so you can love other people. But you have to remind yourself of what God's word says, what Jesus says about you. So anybody and everybody, don't worry about a single soul in here. It's just you and God, remember? It's just you and God. Brent's going to lead us in a worship song, or two, or three, or whatever happens, as long as people are being ministered to. And if you're getting hungry, you need something, I'll order you some pizza, okay? You just keep ministering. We'll get you something. It's more important right now that people have an encounter with God than you know, I guess eating, right?
That's right.
Maybe I'll get you a salad, all right. In Jesus' name, okay. Here's an opportunity, okay? An opportunity right now, just you and God. If you don't love yourself, feel free to come to this altar and lay it down. Why is the altar important? You can stay where you're at if you want to, but let me tell you, when you get before God's altar, you get altered. You do. God will alter you at the altar. It happens. It happens. It happens. It's important. Billy Graham always called people to the altar. Why is it important? I believe in the altar. The altar is where things die and things are purified. And the altar is where things go to lay down so you can pick something else up. Okay? So right now, I'm going to pray for you. And as I'm praying, it's okay. You're not going to get, God's not going to be mad if you walk while I pray. But while I pray right now, I want you to start walking. If that's you, come to the altar. We'll free some space up for you. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. We thank you that you love us intimately, deeply. And God, I thank you that this word has been given to all of us, God. That we are to love ourselves, God. And as we lay this at the altar, and maybe we read our papers and we remind ourselves what God's word says, that right now, Lord, right now there's something happening. There's a change happening in hearts and in minds, and people are getting set free. God, as people come right now, may the anointing of God fall upon them. Maybe they can't even stand in your presence. Whatever it is, have your way right now. We honor you, we love you, and we thank you, and we worship you. Worship you. I ask just one thing, God. I know you're sovereign and you do all things and whatever you want to do, and I submit to that. But Lord, it says we don't have if we don't ask. So I do ask this one thing. That your love fills us completely right now, God. May it be like a heavenly blanket that falls on us, a comforting, amazing blanket for all the people that maybe have never felt it, or it's been a long time. You've been in a long, dry season, that God is bringing a river. He's doing a new thing right now, and he's giving you new love. He's putting new wine in that new wineskin right now, and he's filling you up, God. I ask that right now, from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet, may we feel your love. May there be nothing more important than that right now, just to touch. A touch from you. A touch. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.